It's Advent Sunday, so we're remembering how Jesus came the first time and how he will come back again. Don't think anybody here was around when Jesus came the first time. I'm scanning around. Jeff and Carolyn Bridges, were you around the first Christmas? No, no. But we'll all be present when Jesus comes again. Nobody will miss that day. And we're all, in the meantime, before he comes back, travelling a day at a time closer to that day. So I thought it would be good today to think about the journey we're all involved on, travelling from here to eternity, from time to our future destinies. And we've got a couple of verses from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount which will help us think about that journey. I'd love us all to read them together. We won't have any one person to read them. They're on the sheet.
Oh, yeah.
If it's on the screen, it might be even easier. But we won't keep them on the screen because I'm going to take over from that. Let's read from the sheet. Don't worry about it, Tim. We're good. We're good. Everybody got it? Readers, can you manage to do this? Top of the third page. Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, and we'll read these two verses together. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There we go. And I'm conscious that not all of us are readers, and words are always quite tricky anyway for us to think things through. So I thought a picture might make it easier, and I also need my two assistants up. Bethany and Toby, come up, please. You have to stand next to each other. You come this side, okay? Up the steps, there we go, thank you. You hold that one, you hold that one, and I'm still missing one prop. You hold that, that's okay, that's good. Stand next to each other, be good. Toby, meet Bethany, okay? This is amazing, I'll come back in a moment. I have already slightly damaged this screen, so I'm determined not to damage it anymore. There are the props, okay. This is the first 8-point all-age talk you've ever been to, I should think. I'm hoping I can convince you it's really only a 2-point talk in a moment. Here's our picture. Here's a big scene, and we're going to have journeys to be made there. So we're travelling from time to eternity. All of us are heading, according to those words of Jesus, to one of two destinations. I'll show you how we're doing this. It goes on there like that, okay? The first destination that Jesus mentioned there was the city of destruction. So I'm going to put up a city here. Okay, on our picture. And you say, well, actually, that looks a lovely place. Well, let me tell you, it's not quite as cool as it looks because we're going to do a little symbolic altering of my picture here and have a spooky cloud to indicate the destruction. Where was that in the verse? Do you see it's mentioned there? Matthew 7. Verse 13, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. One of the places that people are heading to, maybe people in this room are heading to, is the city of destruction. When we come to autumn time, we have lots of lovely apple trees in our garden, and the dogs like them, the birds like them, the occasional wasps that lingers like them, but they're going bad all the time. Getting grotty, black spots all over them, going brown. And there's really only one place for them. I lob them into the green bin at the end of the day. If I can't eat them fast enough, they go in the green bin. And then on Mondays, they get taken away and taken to a place where they're destroyed and got rid of. And the Bible says that God has a place where all that has spoiled his world, all that's been spoiled by wrongdoing and evil, will be destroyed. In the Bible, occasionally it mentions how cities are destroyed. Babylon was destroyed. Even Jerusalem was destroyed. Not because it was a particularly wicked place in one sense, not because it was sin city as such, but it was destroyed after Jesus came because they didn't recognize Jesus as their Savior and King. And those who refuse to acknowledge Jesus will, the Bible says, one day be destroyed. So don't believe people who say there's no such place. This is one of the two places which every one of us is heading to. And it's really only fair of me to say it. It's only fair of Jesus to say it. If it's true, he had to say it. I have to say it. If it's true, as indeed it is. So that's one of the destinations that I need to mention. I'm pleased to say there's another one to mention. Let me give this to you. Sorry to have you standing around for so long. These guys are going to stand here all the way through. See where it goes? Great. The City of Life. And I've tried to portray the City of Life like that. It looks a bit like the helmet of the Statue of Liberty, but it's meant to be a bright and sparkling city, okay? This is the best bit of the story, because the destination of life is open to every one of us here, even those who've ignored God and forgotten about him and who deserve to be heading to the city of destruction. They can go to the City of Life, Jesus says. It's possible for sinners like you and me, people who ought to go to destruction, to go to life. And I struggle to create a city of life. It's a wonderful place. All our God-given desires will be perfectly fulfilled, the Bible says, in heaven. And they'll never be taken from us. We'll have fantastic security there. So people often complain about life today, and sometimes with good reason. Maybe they've got disease or disappointment or frustration or boredom to deal with. But there'll be none of that in the City of Life. It's a place of wonderful friendships, perfect joy and love, and meaningful and lasting activity. If you're wondering, now, how is it possible to go there? Well, it's only possible, as we've thought already, because Jesus died on the cross. He took there the punishment of sinners throughout the world, the destruction that we all deserve. It was taken by him and paid in full. So anybody here who comes to Jesus Christ and asks him can have the right to go to the City of Life, not because they are good, but because Jesus Christ died for them. Well, what about the roads to get there? What are the roads like? You know how when you're in a big city like Cambridge, there are some pretty meaty roads, aren't there? There's big roads like the M11 or dual carriageways. And then you get out to the sticks, you get out to Shelford, and there's tiny little roads like Manor Road. And Manor Road's getting even smaller, it seems, now. And there are other, you get out to Norfolk. I mean, come on, there. Do you know, my sat-nav on the road in Norfolk once took us on a road which had grass growing down the middle of the road. And you could almost feel it as you drove along. The car was complaining, saying it was like somebody tickling its tummy. The roads get smaller the further away you get away from civilization. Well, we have a big road. To think about. What's it say in the verse? Let me just get this right. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. I need a broad road on our picture. This is where it gets fun, making sure these things stick on. And it all works perfectly back at home. But it's always a bit problematic in execution. Yeah. Well, that's okay, isn't it? A nice broad road. What are we supposed to learn from what Jesus is saying there? Well, often old roads were very narrow. And you think about going around Cambridge, you've got narrow old streets there. They're difficult to travel on. Rules and regulations apply. No pedestrians here, no entry there. But a broad road, it's lovely. You can go where you like. Plenty of room. big motorway to get to London, don't we? We have plenty of room to change lanes, do what you want on the road. And life, this is a symbol of life where you can do what you like, as it were. There's plenty of room. You don't feel crammed in. You choose how you'd like to go. There's room for everyone. So if you like, you feel like stealing, you can steal. If you like lying, you can tell a lie. If you like cheating, you can cheat. Your parents annoy you, don't worry about it, you ignore them. You never say thank you to them. You hurt someone, you don't say sorry. It's sort of me first, and everyone else has to get out of the way for me. And of course, on a broad road, there's room for that, isn't there? Certainly, you ignore God, and all his rules and regulations are up for grabs. Now, this is going to be the hardest one to stick on, the narrow road. There you go, Toby, thank you. It's your job. Four down, four to go. Here's the narrow road. Ha! Might need assistance here, do you think, or not? Oh, it's going seamlessly. Nearly. Well, it's getting the narrow road suddenly got harder to travel on, that's for sure. You know what I've done? I've actually done a loop in it. This is a very perilous road. Tricky and steeper than I ever intended. Tell you what, we'll sort it out. Talk amongst yourselves just for a second. It's never going to work now, is it? Don't you love blue tack? Toby, you're a star, thank you. I can't do it. I can't make it work. You will never forget. I have sellotape. Two assistants is what it takes. Well done. You've abandoned your post. Has it turned over? That's what I can't understand. Hooray! Don't breathe. Nobody is allowed to breathe till the rest of the talk, okay? You can tell from that narrow road and the difficulty we had sticking it up. It's narrow, it's uphill, it's steep. And it's a picture of the difficulty of traveling God's ways. We stick to the path that God has got for us if we're on this narrow path, even if it's very difficult. Now, we might wonder where we ought to go in life and the places we need to avoid. And, well, if we're on God's way, the good news is the road may be narrow, yes, and difficult. But, of course, that actually, if you think about it, it saves us wandering in lots of different directions and wasting time in life. We stay on the narrow road. We don't go into dead ends and have to turn around and start all over again. It may be narrow, but the beauty of the narrow road is it's getting us to where we want to go. It's getting us to the city of life. And it might be that somebody says, well, is it possible to fall off the narrow pathway? I suppose it might be possible to fall off, but it doesn't necessarily mean if you've done that, you're actually on the broad road. It's worth being reassured about that. Just get back on the narrow road and travel on to the city of life. Now, a couple more points. We can whiz through these, I hope, quite fast. Because there. You okay with that? Thank you. I chose these two because I knew they would smile and look interested in the talk all the way through. No, we'll save that for a moment. I'm getting too keen. Thank you, Bethany. Is it stuck on? All stuck on. The many travelers are mentioned, aren't they? Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, which I'm very sad. This is probably the saddest part of the story, isn't it? That many people are on the broad road. More to stick on. Ha ha ha. Okay. Big crowds. You go into Cambridge in the run-up to Christmas, you'll see many, many, many people on the streets there milling around. And the crowds were something that Jesus was very concerned about in his day. He knew that the truth that many people did not want him or want to go his way. So he says to all of us, if you like, in this little verse, these little two verses, beware of the crowds. We might think to ourselves, well, why can't I do this, that, or the other? Everybody else is doing it. Why can't I send things on the phone, texts or pictures, which should be private? Everybody else does it in school. Oh, you wouldn't understand, Simon, you're 50. You couldn't possibly understand. Everybody's doing it my age. Go on, everyone's doing it, we say to each other. It must be okay, it must be right. And Jesus would say simply, beware, because everybody may be the many who are on the broad roads. Few. Toby, for you. There we go. I've got a few people to stick. This is going to be fun, isn't it? On the broad road. No, the narrow road. Excuse me. One. Two. Little groups, okay. Because Jesus said only few travel on that narrow road. You see, small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The Bible says there'll be many people in heaven. Anybody here met any people who are French? A lot of hands got for French, but you've met French people. There'll be French people in heaven. Any people met any Spanish people? Yeah, there'll be Spanish people in heaven. Any people met any Hungarians? One of the Hungarians in heaven. Any people met any people from America? There'll be lots of Americans in heaven too. There'll be many people, the Bible says, in the city of life. But on the road, it will often seem like we are few in number. Not so many of us. So are you prepared, Jesus asks us, effectively, to be one of the few? So you're not looking over your shoulder at the big crowds on this road, saying, wish I could be part of that crowd. You're prepared to be part of the few. Maybe young people are thinking about who they might have as a boyfriend or a girlfriend in the future, who they might get married to. They might think, I'll never find anybody amongst this small group of people on the narrow road. But you think about it. What a mistake it would be to set up with somebody who's traveling in a completely different direction in life to you. It may be that there are few people on the narrow road, but let me tell you this, if you're on that narrow road, you're never alone. You're never alone, you might be the only Christian in your family, the only Christian in your class at school. But the friendships amongst Christ's disciples are tremendous. So don't fear to be part of a small crowd on the narrow road. We're near the end. I have a wide gate to stick on. A wide gate to stick on, says he. This goes here. Well played. Good enterprising work there, Bethany. That was brilliant. This is a wide gate, isn't it? Jesus says the gate is wide, probably sort of very flashy, big, easy to go through. In one sense, without noticing it. Difficult to miss it. And that is quite dangerous. It's possible just to drift through it. And before you know it, you're on that broad road. And there's a sense in which each time we do something we know to be wrong against God, we are going through that wide gate. And the wide gate takes you onto the broad road that leads to destruction. A small gate to finish up with. Ha! Titchy. There you go. Probably does open if we do that. Thank you, Toby. Well done. Good job. And that is so small, it'd be difficult in one sense to find. Easy to miss it. You're not going to go through a small gate that Jesus talks about by accident. It's a bit like a turnstile at a football match where you go through one by one. You can't drift in a crowd in a football match. Or those scanners when you're going through security at the airport. Oh, wait. Not until it's clear for the last person can the next person go through. One at a time.
the Bible says that Isaiah 27 verse 12 tells us that God calls his people together one by one. So I've got a question. Have you that sense that God has called you personally through the narrow gate for yourself? It's a small gate, too small for you to take all your luggage and bags through. You've got to leave the luggage and baggage of sin behind, find the small gate, and go in. Now, we're done with the picture, I think. I've got nothing more to stick on. You guys have been brilliant. Let me just close by asking you where you think you are on the map. Many of you here are quite young, and it's brilliant because you can make the choice. You can start out on the right road at an early stage, and then you don't waste time in your life. You just get going. Many of us are quite old here, and I think I probably count myself in that category now. If you're 50 plus, you are getting closer to your destination. Whichever road you're on, you're getting closer. If you're 50, you're nearer than you once were. Do I have to spell this out? If you're 60 or more, you are getting much closer than you once were. If you're 70 or 80, whichever destination it is, you are getting very, very near. And it's very important to make sure you're on the right road. Good news if you are on the right road, cheer up. Even if you're 70 or 80, you've not got far to go. It's great, okay? Maybe you just started out and you're on the narrow road, and that is absolutely fantastic. Just, you know, you've definitely started, then be determined to keep going. That's brilliant. And get going for the Heavenly City and call all your friends to join you on the way. How do I start? Well, Jesus said, I am the gate. If anybody comes and enters through me, he'll be saved. She'll be saved. So I come to Jesus, and it starts, the narrow gate, by just saying sorry, thank you, and please to Jesus. Saying sorry that I've sinned against you. Thank you that you died so I can be forgiven. Please be my Savior and my Lord and my friend, and walk with me all the way to the city of life. That'd be a great message to take home and a determination to put into practice for today. Do we want to read those verses together again, just so they're really in our minds? And you can look at Toby and Bethany's chart to see we've not left anything out. All 8 points are well and truly covered. Let's read them together off the sheet, if you would. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. But how wonderful that those few are taken home to heaven to be part of the many that Jesus Christ has saved.